Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Holy cow, it's already a big day. I'm telling you, the Facebook exchanges this morning were so incredible, I can't even tell you. Let me just say this about today. It was planned to be just a show this week because on Thursday it's 4th of July. So I had this idea, all right, 4th of July, let's play a modicum of songs to reflect summer and certainly the tone of the 4th. And then another chapter opened to planning the show as of this morning. It has been crazy. So all I can tell you is I had to play this little introductory music just to get my breath together, have another cup of coffee, and just chill. It's First Tuesday. We've got two people on the line, exactly the two people that I wanted to have you know that we're going to be on the show today. That's wonderful. And I'm going to wait for the music to die out a little bit since it's just cool music. But let me tell you what, next hour is Daryl Walker, the voice of East Bay Soul. So he's going to be filling us in on what's happening with him. There is a lot going on. Our first guest, I know who this is. This is the one, the only keyboardist extraordinaire, songwriter, and descendant of someone very special, David Buck. How are you, David?
I'm doing great.
I miss you.
I miss you too, and it's always great doing the Facebook communication and stuff. And I gotta bring you these tracks. I got a new CD coming out, and I really want you to hear this stuff.
Oh, good! I'm thrilled to hear that because when I keep turning around, there seems to be something else that's happening with you. I mean, you have this incredible reputation. And I want folks to know about you so much. I know that you were just on Cool Jazz Conversations last night, and I'm not going to keep you long because I know you're busy, but tell us what's happening with you. Tell us about the new project and your event at Ram's Head.
Well, I have this month is a great month as far as concerts in the region. I'll be at the Allen Pond in Bowie this coming Sunday from 7 to 8, and that's for everybody who lives in that area. That's also going to be simulcast on Bowie Cable. And the following Friday, I'll be at Sullivan's. That's the 12th and 13th. I'll be at Phase 10 in Baltimore. And then it gets really interesting because the following Saturday, that would be July 20th, I'll be at Ram's Head in Annapolis with Slim Man and my group, the David Bach Consort, and I'm really psyched about that show. Slim called me about, maybe a month ago, month and a half ago, and came up with this idea, and I was really honored that he called me. I was in his group maybe 10 years ago, and he's just, a great performer, and I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, look, let me tell you something. This is a marriage made in heaven, no joke. You and Slim are cut from a similar cloth. You have such class and integrity and artistry. When I saw that you two were going to be together, I literally sat here and screamed, woo! I am really excited about that, and of course I'll see you, and we'll talk about those tracks. When is the projection for your new work of art, your new CD?
I actually just okayed the artwork today. So, and the master has been done. I've been just sort of waiting on the artwork, which is sort of ironic of all things to wait on. But I hear that happens a lot. And so I'm going to have it in hand for the... for all my shows that week, of the Ram's Head show, and I'll have it there at the Ram's Head. And I'm probably going to do like an official release date in September sometime, because I am going to hire some PR people, some national PR people on this CD, because there's just some really, really great tracks on it, and I think to do it justice, I sort of have to do that. So that's sort of what the plan is.
Oh, look, you and the other gentleman who's holding, David, you are both at this particular phase of your career. It now is time to jump through the hoop of fire, honestly, because you need to have more international audiences. People need to know you, and you need to hire that national team. You do.
Yeah, I'm really open to it. I mean, I've already sent it out to three radio pluggers, and they came back with their response, and it's like really glowing. And that's sort of what I did is when I found out what their favorites were, which really weren't necessarily my favorites, I reconstructed the order of the CD, and that's what my remastering was all about, sort of to go with not so much my opinion, because it seems like the songs that I like aren't necessarily the songs they picked. And it's like, okay, well, you know what? I think I really need to start listening to the experts in the field, because this project really does need to get to a bigger audience, and I think people are going to be really, really, they're going to love it, and I'm very excited to see what the response is going to be.
A multi-genre audience, you know that, because you can do everything. I mean, you were recognized by BET. You certainly are jazz. You certainly are classical. A lot of your stuff could go to a pop audience. I don't know what the new CD is like, but you are all of that.
Well, thank you, Trish. I appreciate that. And I look forward to getting on your show and, you know, us just going through the CD and playing it for your audience.
That would be wonderful. And I know that you're on the road, and I know I took you unaware when I asked you this morning to stop on by today, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah. It was like first Tuesday as in today at 1 o'clock, huh? It's like, yes, that's right. So here we are. Yeah, thanks for reaching out. And, yeah, do come and see this show. If there's any show to see in July, it's going to be that Ram's Head show on the 20th. With Slim Man and my group, and it's going to be really nice. We're going to get together, we're going to put a song together where we all get together and play, you know, in between the two bands. So it's going to be real special.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. There's a couple of shows that I'm not going to miss this summer, and that is one. So we'll see you, if not before the 20th, on the 20th.
Okay, great, Trish.
Thanks,
okay,
David.
See you, everybody. Yep. Bye-bye to all the listeners.
Thanks, David. And we'll hook you up sometime in August so you can come and play this doggone new CD. I want to hear it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. David Bach right there. Yes, he is a descendant of Johann Sebastian Bach. So there. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is another David. It must be something in the air. You know that I have waxed poetic about this youngin' frequently, actually since 2008 when I first heard him. This is David P. Stevens, guitarist extraordinaire, songwriter, and man on the way up. How are you, sugar?
I'm good. How you doing, Trish?
I am doing good. I'm psyched about you coming to the area on Friday.
Thank you. I'm psyched, too. It's been a long time we've been trying to get out to this area, so I'm definitely excited. Definitely.
Oh, my God. You know, and this is one of those places, you know, I ask a lot of questions. I have not been to Bethesda Blues and Jazz yet.
Okay.
So I take it you have not either, correct?
No, this will be my first time. The last time I performed in this area in the DMV was 2009 at Blues Alley. So,
wow. Wow.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Really.
That is 4 years ago. That's like almost a lifetime now.
I know. So we're like really anxious to get back there again.
Well, let me tell folks, here I go again about David P. Stevens. When this young man does his thing, it's like something else has taken over, an electric current anointed by God.
Mm. All right.
Serious stuff. And then you're going to have Carol Riddick with you, which is insanity. Oh, my God, you know how much I love her.
Yes. Yes, I was really excited to be able to get her on the bill with me this time because we can, you know, finally do Love Still in Style and Your Embrace and all those songs that we do together. So I'm excited.
and that's what did it for me. David, when I heard Love Is Still in Style from The Shed back in 2008, and Annie and I were just talking about this yesterday because that's when she fell in love with you too. I heard that song and I went, if this is not a national hit, I need to be in another business. Seriously.
Wow.
Oh, no. For real. The arrangement of that song, her voice coming in at the appropriate time, you have been responsible for making babies all over the United States. I am not kidding you. David, seriously, I mean, if you cannot get something going on when you hear that song, something's wrong with you.
That is funny. You know something funny, Trish? I came out of my house the other day to put the trash out, and my neighbor came next door. He said, hey, man, I put on – he was talking about Your Embrace, same type of vibe. And he said, hey, man, I just want you to know it worked. And I was like, okay.
TMI.
Yes. I'm like, okay. Let me just put my trash out and go on back in the house.
Whoa. Well, apparently he put his trash out. That's all I'm saying. Oh, my God. Wow. That is something else. No, look, seriously.
Yeah.
And then Epiphany, the new CD with Your Embrace on it. Carol and you, I don't know what's going on, but there is some kind of vibe that just suggests that you need not to be alone.
Oh, no. She's great chemistry. She's a wonderful artist. So it's just fun working with
her. She is. And look, tell her, please, that I am not a stalker. I know that she thinks I am at this point because every time I turn around on Facebook, Carol Riddick, and she thinks, oh, this girl, I hope she likes men because I'm a little worried.
Oh, wow.
tell her not to be worried. It's just that her voice, I mean, when I hear you and when I hear her either alone or together, I start to miss my hometown so badly, I can't even tell you.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are the soul of Philadelphia.
Thank you. Thank you, Trish.
You are welcome. So where can we get tickets? Where can folks get tickets to see you on July 5th, day after 4th of July at Bethesda Blues and Jazz? Website?
Yes, I believe you can go to their website, the Bethesda Blues and Jazz website. I don't have it offhand, but if you go
I'll find them.
And if you go there, you can buy tickets there. You can also buy tickets at the door. And you know, it's interesting. I mentioned this last night on the radio show. I was saying that sometimes people, you know, they think, well, I don't want to come out because I don't know this guy. I've never seen this guy. You know, I'm new, and it's been a long time since I've been out there. But I want to tell people, take the risk. It's going to be a wonderful show, amazing show. We got a lot of things in store. So I'm hoping you'll just say, you know what, let me just go on out there and check them out.
You know what? It's interesting that you should say that because I wrote a Charlotte Bront novel in the way of a status on Facebook yesterday exactly about what you just said.
Mm.
And here's the bottom line. Folks in Baltimore are a little reticent. I know that you're closer to D.C. because you're going to be in Bethesda, but folks in Baltimore are reticent to go and see acts that are not associated with Baltimore, and that's ridiculous, number one, because there's far too much of an intimidation factor, and I know that Philly has its own snobbery. So does Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get over that and start supporting one another more because we don't want any more venues to close.
You're right. Yeah, it's definitely.
Then,
this is not a Philly thing or Baltimore thing. You know, it's just music thing. You know.
It is. And David, you know as well as I do that people have money for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Nails. clothes, food, cars, everything else. So if
right.
you say that you love jazz, et cetera, and all of what that could mean, you need to not swallow so hard when you have to pay a cover to get in and then pay for dinner. You can afford
right.
that. Times are better now. No more talking about tough times. Let's get over
right.
that.
It's true. It's true.
So,
things are definitely looking up.
They are definitely looking up, and this is a beautiful club with a lot of seats, and it would be nice to get those seats filled. If you want to hear a world-class guitarist who is based locally and sounds international, I'm talking to him right here. So
thank
there.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now that's an introduction right there. We need no other. That was perfect.
Well, you know what? It really does help that somebody is based in a hometown and gets all their inspiration from all the locality of loving your hometown and then knowing your chops so significantly that you can stand shoulder to shoulder. Look, you got Gerald Beasley and Gerald Albright on that CD, Epiphany. And let me tell you something. Gerald and Gerald were just as thrilled to be playing with you as you were playing with them.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's a fact.
Well,
that
definitely brought a smile to my face.
Well, look, you know, I never want you to have a second guess about the artistry of who you are, because you are serious. And I'm telling you, there are going to be some people coming to Bethesda on Friday night going, I better go back in the shed and start doing some more.
All right. Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully everything will work out so that I'll see you. I got to get my little Bessie in shape to come see you, my car. And
okay.
I will be there with bells on, because you and Carol together, oh, Lord, oh, it's just a shame that I'll have to go by home by myself. Anyway, that is not your concern, David.
I'm so looking forward to meeting you. We've been, you know, having the interviews for the last couple of years, so I'm very, very excited to meet you finally. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, it'll be something. Yeah, after all this time, isn't that weird? Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, best of everything. I'm going to look up the exact location. I'm going to play a song by you right now and Carol, and guess which one it is, duh. And make sure folks know where it is they can get their ticket. So I'll give them all the particulars after we set you free on this phone. I thank you for your time
okay.
today, David. I really do.
And thank you very much, very much.
You are welcome. You know, you're one of my favorites. You always have been.
Definitely, you know how to make a brown man blush.
You know what? I pride myself on doing that, David. Can I just say?
All right.
Oh yes, I live for that. Look, don't get me started.
Uh oh.
I'll see you right. Friday.
Okay, Trish.
Have
all a
right,
day.
David. You too. Bye
bye.
David P. Stevens right there, and Carol Riddick right here from 2008, The Shed, the name of the CD, Love is Still in Style. You better get ready for this. Thank you.
We will always face the day. I hope you still
Stuff right there. Yes. Even Darryl Walker had to make a comment about that via a little message on Facebook. Yes, Donald Byrd, On the Trail from the CD Mustang. And I always have to correct myself because back then we didn't know what the heck CDs were. 1966 was the year for that fabulous LP. Get the vinyl if you can. Oh my God, it really does make all the difference in the world. Speaking of which, the artistry on there, of course, the late, great Donald Byrd, who we just lost in February of this year. Still hurting about that. What a life, though, huh? Sonny Red on alto sax. Hank Mobley on tenor sax on this project. McCoy Tyner on piano. Walter Booker on bass. Freddie Waits on drums. Also on a couple of tracks on this, Jimmy Heath and Joe Chambers. Beautiful stuff. Mercy, that was good. On the Trail. And actually, the song was written by a gentleman named Ferdy Grof, who was a Huguenot born in the 1800s, who found his way to the U.S. and into classical music and jazz, and is such a different breed of cat when you get a chance to read about him, as was Donald Byrd. No wonder their paths crossed, because they both got each other from different places. Doesn't even matter when you have that musical connection. Everything just clicks, doesn't it? Did we hear some music? Oh, my God, I love that set, and it wasn't even planned. Thanks a lot to David Bach, who called first, then David P. Stevens. We heard from David P. Stevens and Carol Riddick first in that set. Love Is Still in Style from 2008's The Shed. And let me tell you this. We were talking about this particular club. This is where David P. and Carol are going to be on Friday. BethesdaBluesJazz.com is where you want to go to get your tickets, just so you know. We don't usually talk about that club, and apparently we're going to be talking about it more because more and more people are being booked. This is a good thing. Very hopeful. We also heard David Bach from this CD that just is a mind blower because of all the different folks that come and go on this, A Deep Breath. That was, of course, the Sting song, Wrapped Around Your Finger. And I just want to shout out to all the local and regional folks who were on this particular track, and each track is different in that regard. David Mark on soprano sax, just a very well-respected gentleman in the area, as is Gary Granger on bass, Mark Prince on drums, Andy Shriver on guitar, Ikendra Das on percussion, Hoppy Hopkins, David Font were also part of this mix. A lot of music to play. Hopefully we can get to it. And I wanted to make sure you heard this song before we get to the top of the hour interview with the one, the only, Darryl Walker. Can't wait to find out what's going on with him, and we might have a surprise for you. Keep your fingers crossed. Didn't know when putting the show together that all of this would fall into place. I wanted to play a song by Eric Essex because he is a fabulous guitarist. who has a heart that is as big as Montana. He was thinking of the 50th anniversary of the 16th Street church bombing in Eric's hometown of Birmingham, Alabama. He was pondering that greatly and inspired to write songs for his brand new Evolution CD. It's just a masterful work, seriously. The 16th Street bombing happened on 9/15/1963. I remember it. I was about 10 years old. It was just a very bad time in America. The four little girls, Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Denise McNair, and Carol Robertson, that were killed in that blast, were killed because of the civil rights era and the chafing and the horrible growing pains in America that were happening, and a bomb was planted in the church that they were attending. The sermon that these little girls and many others were hearing that day, they were preparing for a sermon called A Love That Forgives, which is the name of the song that you're just about to hear from Eric Essex. Now, I have to tell you, I wanted to play that song because of my great love for Eric, but also I found out through the research that today, July the 2nd, the show that you're hearing today is the anniversary in 1964 of Lyndon Johnson signing the Civil Rights Act, a very big deal. An exchange back and forth on Facebook this morning, you might want to go check that out, just amazing. And then on top of that, I found out through my friend Keith Gamble that today is also the birthday of Medgar Evans. So I am supposed to play the song Feast Your Ears on Eric Essex and Company, A Love That Forgives, from the much buzzed about CD called Evolution on Hybrid Jazz. The vibe of this album is so good, I can't even tell you. And Tracy Hamlin's in the chat room, and she, I can just see her nodding her head going, oh yes. And it's not because Tracy is on Evolution by Eric Essex. It's just because you can clearly hear inspiration from start to finish. That track there, A Love That Forgives, written by Eric, and featuring him on guitars, Kelvin Wooten on bass, and Marcus Finney on drums. There are more folks involved on the CD, but I want you to go get it because you will thank me for it, no joke. Phew, Evolution. And look, I'm just going to say this in passing because you know I like to run my mouth with this stuff, and forgive me for doing it, but Eric, I am so happy for him. Now, he's number one on the Smooth Jazz Indie Charts, and I know he's happy about that, and I am happy for him. But let me tell you something about Eric Essex. He is not just a smooth jazz guitarist. You understand what I'm saying? There is so much more meat and potatoes involved in this man. He's been playing for a long time. So lest you think that you are going to hear some lightweight stuff, appetizers? No. It's just amazing, start to finish. And anything that you pick up by him is going to be the same way. So, Eric Essex, E-S-S-I-X. Now, on the phone with me, I didn't expect anyone else to call. Apparently, this is, and thank you, Tracy, for looking this up, 562 is a California area code. I just want to see if this is who I think it is on Hybrid Jazz. Hello, 562. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who is this?
This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, my God, I didn't expect that. That is such a treat. You are like the number one Daryl Walker fan on the planet.
Oh, my gosh. That's my baby.
I know. And you are listed as his mother, and that is so funny.
Yes, I'm his other mother.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious. How long have you been a Daryl Walker fan?
Oh, my God, He grew up at my house.
He did?
I knew him. Yes, they lived right down the street. And when his mom would get tired of him practicing, she'd say, go down to your other mother's house. I'm tired of hearing it. And that's how I got that label.
That is a trip. Oh, my God. Carolyn, that's... I did not know that. There was such a long association. Well, no wonder you love him. And look, that makes me love him even more, because if you've known him for that long and you still love him, that's a good sign.
That's right. He is one to be loved. I've seen him go through the struggles, and he deserves everything that he gets.
Well,
God has been very good to him, and I appreciate it.
Yes, and he knows that, and that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
yes,
he does know that
he had a wonderful mother, and I miss her every day, and I'm sure he misses her too, but she was a beautiful woman.
Wow. That's really a nice story. I had no idea.
I had to call now because I have a dental appointment, and I said, I don't know what time it is there. It's 10:52 here, but I'm just going to go on and call right now, and I've got to get out of here to go to my dental appointment. But I did want him to know that I was tuning in, and you had put on Facebook to call in. Don't forget to listen. So I listened as much as I could, but let him know that I did call in.
And look, if he doesn't believe it, then he can always hear this conversation on the archives later, and you can hear the interview later. So when you come back, later on today, it'll be available sometime between 4 and 5 Eastern time.
Okay.
So where do you live? You live in California, right?
I live in California, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, so just figure 3 hours difference, and
you're
good. You can hear the whole thing, and we'll send out some love to you.
Thank you, and I'm sending it right back to you.
I know you are. I feel it. I got to play an East Bay Soul with Daryl song for you right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
This is especially for you because you are honestly one of the more hopeful people that I know on Facebook. And, of course, the song is I Hope.
All right. Very apt.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Love you, Trish.
Love you, too. Thanks for calling.
Right. You're
all
welcome.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is indeed East Bay Soul from the debut of EBS. Get ready. This is so beautiful. And Daryl comes your way in less than 10 minutes on Hybrid Jazz.
I hope you choose it. Believe you can do it. I hope. Take the higher road, lift your soul, here you are, life unfolds, a beautiful world, and yet there's so much more, on the higher road, first of all. You've been down so low, take the higher road.
Let me tell you something. If you could see this on Skype behind the scenes while the songs were going on, you would laugh. Oh, my gracious. That song, that voice, we were talking about this voice for the bulk of the day yesterday, the voice that you just heard. That is the voice of East Bay Soul, but it's not just a voice, lest you think. This is one of those gentlemen that is a triple threat because he's got that voice, which makes time stop, and then he is the consummate saxophonist and a percussionist, and he dabbles in this and that. He is one of those gentlemen, seriously, that when you see him, and there's been a handful of those people in time where I have seen, and I've just stopped in my tracks, because when you see him, you know this is a star. Now that I've thoroughly embarrassed him, let me introduce you to the star for this hour, Daryl Walker. Woohoo!
Good morning, Trish. How are you?
I'm better now, love. I really am. Did you hear your friend, your mother, Carolyn?
Carolyn Spence. What a dear. What an inspirational human being she is, really.
Oh, my God. How much does she love you?
Oh, my God. I can't define it, put it that way. I cannot define it.
And isn't that amazing, Daryl? In your lifetime, you know that there is someone out there who is so vocal, so consistently demonstrative of unconditional love as that woman. So I just love her for loving you.
Oh, man, let me tell you. She and my mother were two peas in a pod, you know. I grew up with her kids. She had two boys and a daughter, and I would hang out with them because we all went to the same schools. And like she said, you know, it came time to do the old pull-out-the-horn routine. Her son, Willie, he played trombone, and at the time I was playing alto sax in the marching band at the high school we went to. And it just all unfolded there, you know. I decided at that point that at some point in my life I was going to make that my career. I didn't know how to go about it and that kind of thing, but I did know deep down that that was something that was going to be part of what I do professionally. You know, it's just one of those things. And she always encouraged us to go in the living room, turn on the record player. Where's your music? Bring your stuff. Come over here and play. She used to just love to sit there and watch the kids. Afternoon of it after school.
Okay, so was she the person or one of the pivotal people around you when you, as a little one, started to sing Sitting on the Dock of the Bay? She was right there going, oh, you go ahead, Daryl. That sounds beautiful.
Now, that would have been my mom's people, but Carolyn came into my life when I was, I was in the fourth grade, I believe. We just moved into the area. And
wow.
Right across the street from the school, which was nice. And she lived down the street on a cul-de-sac. And I met her kids right away. And we started to become friends. And then I met her. And I just knew, I could see in her eyes, oh, this is a woman that just loves people. And you just
mm-hmm.
feel this warmth anytime you're in her presence. You know that she's who she says she is. She's, you know what I mean? Those kind of people that you don't doubt at all. You just know.
Oh, my God. And you know what? Here's what it is, Daryl. It's that childlike heart of loving.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly the description I would use to say, this is Carolyn Spence.
Mm.
A childlike person that loves unconditionally.
And not a bone in her body would wish you harm. It's always good intent. And when she meets you, you are the only person in the room.
Oh, sure. That's right. She gives you her complete attention. It's funny. I had an opportunity to have her at one of the local shows at the Spaghettini Grill and Jazz Club in Seal Beach.
Yeah.
And it was just funny. There were people I wanted to speak to, and once I started talking to her, I didn't even think about it. We just kept talking and talking. Before I knew it was time to go back on stage.
And see, you know, you just love people like that because so often in a situation, I mean, this people can relate to this completely. When you're in a public forum like that and people gravitate to you, they're gravitating to you because frequently you're the flavor of the moment. You're in the spotlight, so they want a piece of that spotlight too. But when you have a Carolyn around you, she is coming to you for all the right reasons. She loves the music. She completely relates to you. And you just feel as though there's family in the room, and you don't ever want to stop conversing.
No, exactly. She and my mother were two of the most, like you say, vocal, but also two of the most supportive and encouraging people in the early days. I just, when I think about it, sometimes it makes me choke up because the two of them are the reason why I had the strength to endure what it took to get to this point today. Because there were many obstacles along the way, you know, a different career in aerospace and difficult, let's just say difficult people in the past who got in the way, and I had to clear things out and make sure I had laser pinpoint focus on what I wanted to accomplish. And I thank them for giving me that inspiration.
Oh my! And that was the backbone for your strength to get out, because once you have tasted that kind of love, first of all, it's a blessing, that goes without saying, but people don't understand, because I had that too in my life. When you have that kind of love, when you were little and you have that memory, that compels you to do anything, even in the most adverse situations, because it takes a while, and there may be other people to be naysayers. People might not like your light, and they say, no, I'm going to out in that light. I'm going to distinguish or extinguish that light. You know what I'm saying, Daryl. You make your way through this world, and depending on how much success you have, there will be people who will be happy for you and people who will hate you for it.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
If you have that childhood of that kind of love, it can really propel you to go forward and be more successful than you ever dreamed. And that's what happened to you.
That's you summed it up very well. I couldn't say it better than that. It's a foundational thing, and when you see that lacking in other people, you just kind of want to pull them aside and try to share, but a lot of times they're not in the place where they can actually hear what you're saying and put it into practice in their own lives.
For real, because if you don't have a blueprint for that, as we had, you don't know how to proceed in life. If everything in your past has been a downer, how do you get up?
Exactly. I thank them for that all the time. They were good examples morally, emotionally. However, you just name it, I could tell you yes. They were responsible in some way for that.
Well, I'm just so tickled because, you know, it's funny, in putting together research for the show today, and because you were going to be on the show, I loved it because I read that you were a favorite person that gets picked by Luis Miguel all the time, and I want you to talk about that, but I love the fact that I can say about you, this is my own word that I've coined, one of the attractive features about you in a musical sense is that you have bilinguality.
you
are able to hear and converse in another language, so that makes you very much the sought-after property. I mean, you're so good at sax, you're so good at voice, you're so good at whatever you do, and then on top of that, you're bilingual.
Well, thank you. Not in the classic sense, but definitely in studio, what I've learned to do over time is phonetically write down the ideas and go over the song and the arrangement, And then what I've had to do with regard to Luis Miguel is, and this is purely in a pre-production standpoint, or point of view anyway, his core band, his musical director, his second keyboard player, the bass player, and the drummer, usually get together for a period of about 3 to 4 months prior to actually going into the studio and beginning to assemble a new project. And we get together, and they bring me in usually on the tail end once they've gotten their original song ideas together, and then they ask me to come in and sing this material, because they know that all they have to do is say, we're going to do this song, and we'll send it, and if you could just, you know, sing it like him, it'd be great. Well, the first time they asked me to do that, they had no idea that I was going to do it so accurately. What I had to do is I had to dive in deeply and study his delivery, his timbre, his flow, and I basically tried to become a version of Luis Miguel for them so that they could actively put that on their track and then send it out to him so that when he heard it, he could instantly identify with it and see himself singing it and recording it.
That's fascinating.
It's a process that goes yes. on when you're working with someone of his level. He's like one of the largest stars in the world. People,
yes.
Sometimes I'm floored when I mention Luis Miguel's name and no one knows who he is. It's like, really?
Oh.
Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh.
He has Michael Jackson level fame. That's about all I could say. That's in the Latin America world, or however you want to put it, in Latin America, or even just all over the world. Anybody who's of Latino descent knows who he is, put it that way.
Absolutely,
that's
yeah.
His name. So this process goes on, and the next thing you know, we're at the point where it sounds like a record almost. It's just not quite as perfect as we'd all like it. But if you listen to it, you would think, wow, that's ready to be released. But it really isn't. It's time for him now to have this presented to him, and then he can decide what he's going to do. And what's happened in the past is he's recorded three of the ones that we've sent to him. One of the songs, I believe, was Vuelve. Yeah, Vuelve. And the other two I would have to look up and dive into research myself to find out, but I know he's recorded three of the ones submitted to him. And that's a big honor, because the guy is, like I say, he's a superstar. He's a consummate professional. And the people that he surrounds himself with, a very small group of really talented people who have their own things going on as well.
Mm.
And it's an honor to be called upon to do anything in that camp, you know, whether it's pre-production or whatever it is.
So when you can tell me how this goes. When you have complete international status like him, is that what one does? One is invited to pitch a particular song to this individual, or one is invited to keep returning so that Luis, since he has come to know you, he wants to hear how the song will go in his head. So there's just a small, little tiny group of people that they call upon in order to present that to him.
It's usually a very small group of people that he typically trusts and will go to. You know, I don't know how else to explain it other than...
Yep, I get it.
He doesn't put out this gross call, this large call for material. He goes
yes.
to his go-to people, and they're consistent, trustworthy, and he knows that they will bring him something that's something he will want to listen to, something he would want to record. You know, I mean, ultimately you get into the whole process and, okay, well, that's great, but I don't want that for this record. Let's maybe keep that on the back burner. Oh, that one sounds great for this project. You know what I mean? They have an idea of what the theme of the project is.
Yeah.
And they kind of try to write around the theme. And then he will be presented things from different circles. And then at the end of it, he's decided, okay, I will use these tracks from this group, that group, and this group. Or sometimes he might not use any of them. He might on a whim, just pull something from a completely different area, you know. But generally speaking, it's usually a big it's a big decision, but it's a small group of people that he relies on to get that.
I never heard it explained this way, and now I see this door opening. It all makes sense to me that a very astute individual who has that much success, now I see why he or she would have that. Because if you hire people that you trust and stay working with you, you come to know what expectations are. You can achieve a level of success where you can hire people to sing a song for you in order for you to contemplate whether you're going to have it on your next project. That's just really interesting to me. So thank you for explaining that.
Oh, sure. Greg Adams is the same way. You know, he has a core group of people that he has worked with, that he trusts, that he knows the quality and the consistency will be there. And it's demonstrated time and again. Every time we do a project, you can hear that quality because of the people that he's enlisting as songwriter partners, as well as production people. You know, who's going to come, who's going to help him produce it, who's going to record it, be the engineer, who are the players going to be on the project. He knows right away who he's going to call on for a given skill. He knows that when he calls on those people, they're going to come in. And no time is going to be wasted. It's going to be quality from the first note. You know, it's going to be very well done.
And, you know, that reminds me, Daryl, we may have touched on this the last time you were on the show, and it's coming back to me now that we must have, because that's a burning question. How did you and Greg get to meet? Because, oh, jeez, we're all so thrilled that you did.
Well, he and I and his wife, Andrea, and actually the whole band, all of us are thrilled that this thing has come to fruition. The story of how we met is really interesting. Greg at the time was going through the pain of dealing with what he calls the third sex, and that would be singers.
Oh, my.
Sometimes, you know, without mentioning any names, sometimes there are those who they forget to honor the fact that they've been given a gift that should be shared. And the, in my view, the purpose of being placed in that position to share that gift, it's not supposed to be, again, this is in my view, it's not supposed to be one that comes from ego or financial or personal gain or anything like that. It's about honoring the material and touching souls. It's that simple. That's the way I look at it. That's a very fundamental approach that I use every time I step on stage. It's about respecting the people you work with, honoring them, working as a team member, trying to have a cohesiveness that is then perceived as really what it is. It's a great group of talented people who are putting out an incredible sound and with incredible quality. And that's how we approach it. So the way he met me was we were, let's see, I'm trying to distill this down to a shorter version.
I love it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Greg was going through all the pain of the previous singers he had who didn't work out for one reason or another, you know, whether it was personal problems, unreliability, whatever it was, you know, he just had enough. So when he put together the first East Bay Soul project, the idea was to have four singers on the project so that if one or the other decided to wig out and act stupid or not do what they were supposed to do or create drama, so to speak, he could call upon one of the others to step in. Because we have live dates and other things we like to do, and you need to know that your crew is going to be there. You don't want to have any X factor, so to speak.
Of course.
So he was trying to eliminate the possibility of X Factor, is why there were so many singers on that first project, East Bay Soul. So right around the end of that project, they were about to record the last two songs. I Hope was one of them, and then the other one was Awake. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think it's entitled Awaken, which is an instrumental track where I just kind of answer Greg's horn lines vocally. Well, anyhow, those last two tracks were about to be done, and Greg started making phone calls to people he knew, the one of which was to a singer, sax player, incredible musician, musical director of George Lopez's TV show before that was canceled, Mr. Sean Holt. And Sean Holt is very well known here in this area in California because he's been on all the TV stuff. He's put together incredible bands. He's a good songwriter. He's a great singer. He works in the corporate circles, too. He and I had worked together on a few occasions, and he remembered me, and Greg was asking him, Sean, do you know of any singers I could call upon to help me complete this project and to maybe do a few dates with the band? Because, see, at that point, he wasn't even looking to find a permanent member. He just wanted to cover a few dates and, you know, feel it out and see how it would work. So Sean said, sure. So Sean forwarded him a list of about 10 people, of which I was at the bottom alphabetically. My last name is Walker.
Right.
And all this now is going on with I had no knowledge of it. Unbeknownst to me, all this was happening in the background. And here I am, getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm at the Boeing company working as an aerospace professional. And
oh, my gosh.
Right. I'm dealing with HR issues and teaching people how to build airplanes. And so Greg finally he works through this list, and he's really disenchanted every time. And I'm saying this based on what he told me. Disenchanted with every singer he was hearing. Number one, no. Number two, no. Number three, number four. So he gets down close to the bottom of the list, throws his hands up, and walks out of the room because he and his wife, Andrea, who is our champion and our manager. We owe her so much because she works very hard to get this band out there. Moving 10 people around the country is challenging. So we'll get into that later. That's another story. But
Of course, yes.
So he's going down this list. The two of them are going down this list, and they just can't believe that they're, oh, God, we need something, and this isn't it, and this isn't it. So finally, Greg's left the room out of disgust. Just like, oh, man, what am I going to do? And Andrea then sees my name and goes to this website of a friend of mine, Doug Ross, a great bass player here in the L.A. area, who's also a wonderful composer and lyricist. We did some stuff together. She heard it, and she said, Greg, you better come in here. So he came in, and he called me after he heard that. Now, mind you, we hadn't met face-to-face. He called me, and I treated it like a prank at first. I couldn't believe this. I'm like, because I have friends that will play tricks like that. You know, they'll impersonate people, and we kind of have this. It's not mean-spirited. It's fun. We do this to each other. And so I'm thinking this is a joke until he says, I really would like to know if you'd want to come in and record with us and, you know, maybe cover a couple of dates and let's see where it goes from there. I'm thinking to myself, I have nothing to lose. This is a great opportunity. Okay, I'll do that. So I agree to go down. They were recording in the Valley, L.A. Valley, Encino area, I believe. And I left Long Beach. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the West Coast, the distance traveled between where I worked at the airport to the studio took me almost 3 hours to get there because of traffic.
Wow.
4:30 in the morning. So now I'm traveling in traffic, and I had commuted 2 hours in the morning to get to work because I lived far from my job at the time. So I'm pretty tired, and I worked the whole day and dealt with the pressure and the stress of that whole corporate scene. Now I'm trying to switch gears and get my head back into, okay, music, the thing I love. Yay, I get to do this today. So I'm going and I'm driving. Finally get to the studio. I meet Greg for the first time and his counterpart, Carmen Griot, who owns the studio, Big Surprise Music. And of course, I wondered how he knew Carmen, and he and Carmen go back to Tower Power. Carmen was at one point a guitarist in Tower Power. But they asked me to go ahead and walk in and warm up a little bit because they wanted to get some microphone levels and all this. So I went in there and I did one of my signature warm-up kind of exercises, which is nothing more than a simple blues scale, just to shake things loose and get the voice kind of working. And the two of them looked at each other. It was funny because I hadn't seen that reaction for a while. And then they looked back in, oh, are you ready? Yeah, okay. So everything was set. The music was there, everything. And he said, okay, this is I Hope, and we're ready to go if you are. And so we started recording. And I wasn't in there very long. It was such a well-written song, and everything
beautiful.
Was so perfect in the studio. The conditions couldn't have been better. It didn't take long to lay that down. And they were completely excited about it. I was happy about them being excited, and we really loved what we heard and what we did. So we did the other track, Awaken, so I just went in there and sang some riffs and, you know, scats along with Greg's horn playing, and that's where it all began.
That is something else. And, you know, with Greg, who has had so much experience with so many different kinds of artists, mm-hmm. the visual of him going down a list to get to the W's.
Oh, yeah.
And then throwing his hands up in the air and saying, you know what, I don't know if this is going to work. And Andrea saying, hold on, got one more for you. That is a trip.
Oh,
man.
It's funny. It's really funny because they, you know, the two of them are a hoot. They really are. They're like, you know, that symbol of the black and white symbol of the little teardrop. What is it called? Yin-yang?
Yes.
That's them. The two of them kind of fit together like that. And it's funny because I could completely visualize him being disgusted and walking around pacing and trying and wondering, what am I going to do about this? And then her, you know, she in the background going, you need to come in here. Just so funny.
Oh, my God.
So,
thank the Lord that happened the way it did because,
I really do. I really do.
You do.
Because it wasn't just an opportunity to be involved in a musical icon's business, because that's what Greg is. You know, he's a humble guy. He's very, very, very humble. But at the same time, he is an iconic level musician. He's been all over the world. He's done some really notable things, created an incredible sound that everybody wants, you know, with the Tower of Power horns. He did all those arrangements over the years. It's an honor to be there because there's not only that working in that environment, but there's the other side of it, the friendship, you know, and the love that the whole band shares is amazing. You know, we help each other through difficult moments, and we go through things and make sure that we're all on the same page, and we support each other, you know. It's a wonderful thing because it's not common.
You know what? The band is so awesome because these are some seasoned veterans, and there's nothing more exciting for me than to see these different kinds of guys who have been chopping away at music for a long time. And when you're all together, it's like you see a band for the first time. They're in their 20s, and you're in their the listener is in their 20s. It's fresh all over again. It's what we used to hear back in the 60s, and you're a different story entirely, and I'll get to that, Daryl. But when you see East Bay Soul, it's the same kind of experience that we felt when I was a teenager seeing a band in high school, that kind of feeling.
Yep.
I have to say,
it's just one of those things, and it's the way it all happened. I couldn't have orchestrated that. That was beyond me. That was something that was happening. That was godsend. You know, it was meant to be one of those serendipitous moments where things just fall into place and happen the way they should.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, more and more now I see that even in the course of your day, even something that others may deem as possibly small and insignificant really is not. Things come to your attention because they're supposed to come to your attention, and you can either do something with them or not. But that whole story, and I'm so glad you explained it in detail about how you got together with Greg, it was just supposed to be. There's no question about it.
It really was. There's a synergy that takes place in this band that I can't quite explain. I mean, I'll try. But, you know, with his arrangements and the way he approaches music, and then he's easy to work with, too. He's not one of these people that's ridiculously difficult to work with. His demeanor is calm. He's very clear and concise about what we need to do, you know, in terms of arrangements and the show lineup, you know, in terms of the songs and the set list and how we're going to present things, anything that needs to be tweaked, you know, whatever the story is, because we approach this from a very multifaceted way of looking at things. It's not just about being on stage and playing the music. We try to incorporate excitement, you know. Well, first of all, we're all excited to play together anyway, so anytime we have a show, it's just excitement on that level. And fun, you can see it on our faces.
Yes.
But then there's the aspect of, okay, let's make this a show. When we have the big stage, we can get out, like I'll have a wireless mic. In our rider, there's usually a wireless mic. I can get out of my position and walk in front and work the stage because I don't have to be doing any horn section stuff at that moment. I'm putting my horn down and I actually go out front and just get the crowd all crazy, which is what happened in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. We had a big show there. I have it right here.
I saw the pictures. They were crazy.
Oh, Jazz in the Woods in Overland Park, Kansas City.
Woo!
And 12,000 people
out
there. We closed the show, and there were 12,000 people, and they were just beside themselves, and it felt
my
so good.
God.
It felt incredible because these people were there to hear the band. They wanted to hear, you know, there were two other great artists that came on before we went on, and that was great. And then we showed up on stage, and it took on a whole different thing because now we were 10 people. That's a wall of sound when you have 10
yes.
people and five horns up front. I mean, it's just, that's unbelievable. And that Greg always says that's his dream, you know, to have five horns because he loves. See, for an arranger, having five horns is incredible because you can duplicate or go beyond the chord voicings that are being played on the piano. You can actually do that in the horn line. Each part is different, but yet together comprises a chord that sounds even more impactful because it's coming from a horn. Augmenting what the piano's doing.
And you know what, Daryl? With all of the associations and the relationships, actually, that Greg has had through the years of working with other people and doing what they want to do, can you imagine how much of a high this is for him that he gets to do his own thing? And now what he had envisioned has come to pass.
Oh, absolutely. It's every time we get on stage, we're all excited about it because we have so much fun. And, you know, the things that most people can't see or don't notice is the comments we make to each other, you know, when someone's playing a solo and it's just right on and it's really nice. You know, for instance, like if he does that, I'll kind of walk behind him on my way to join the other horns if I'm playing a horn section part with them, and I'll really quickly say as I'm walking by, "Nice job, nice." He'll smile, you know, and acknowledge without being too obvious because you don't want people to see you talking to one another. You know, your attention is supposed to be on the audience. But you can't help it. You have to acknowledge when people have done something great, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I do. I do that to all of them. Whenever I'm within earshot or if they can see me, I'll motion or give some sort of gesture that they know, so they can understand I'm acknowledging, man, that was outstanding. Do that again more, please.
Just like handing out a bowl of cereal, please. Could you put some more in my bowl?
These are the moments, you know. These are the moments when you're on stage with incredible, talented people. You just, in my case, I have to acknowledge it because it's just such a high. It really is. To see them relaxed and excited and in the just absolute thick of doing their best work
Oh, man.
An amazing thing to witness because, A, you're part of it. You're in that whole environment. And then at the same time, you can pull yourself out of it for a second and just watch what they're doing and just really appreciate what they're doing. And that's what I do with all these guys. It's amazing. I'll be singing, but yet my ears are tuned in to what's going on around me. So when I'm through doing what I need to do, so say I'm singing a song, and then it's time for a guitar solo or sax solo or trumpet or flugelhorn or whatever it is, I'll back up and move aside, let that person come up and take the spotlight. But at the time that that's happening, I'm standing there, and I'm just watching this unfold, this organic thing that's happening. That just, and I know that, that music aficionados and people that love, that really love live music, they get it. And they may not know what's going on technically. They may not even, you know, care. But what they're hearing and reacting to is the same thing that's exciting me as I'm watching all this unfold.
And you know why you can get that? You get it because you put so much blood, sweat, and tears into to having that other life. And now you have the opportunity where you get to live a dream. And those people who come to see you, they have left behind their jobs for the day or for the weekend, and they are out for escape. You're escaping through something that you are living day to day, and they're escaping from their job, and you are on this mutual high.
Yeah, that's very well put. That's what's happening. It's happening all at this. And recognizing that and feeding off of it allows the artist to take the performance to a different level.
Yep.
You can really, really get in and touch people when you realize that connection and then you allow that to organically manifest. You can just completely, it can be a completely amazing experience.
It's as if an audience member said to you personally, "I love you, Daryl," and you're saying in response to them, "You do? I want you to love me more, so I'm going to do this."
That's it.
Oh my God! It's and I've seen East Bay Soul do your collective thing and. You know what the audience was like at Ramshead back in December. I mean, people were awakened.
Oh, I can't wait to do that again. That was a nice room, a nice crowd. The people there, the staff, the sound people, everything was great. You couldn't have asked for a better situation. They were just so accommodating and nice. And we don't have any difficult people in the band either, which is nice. It's no divas, just experienced professionals that want to get a job done, that want to have some fun while they're doing it, and are excited about doing it. And that's what came across that night.
And you know what? You just mentioned the size of the crowd that you just performed in front of. I wasn't even planning to tell you this, but we had a guest earlier, David P. Stevens, who is going to be with Carol Riddick at a place on Friday. And Andrea and you and Greg need to know about Bethesda Blues and Jazz because, Daryl, this is a newer room outside of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and it is a large capacity room. So it's something to consider. BethesdaBluesJazz.com is where to go. I'll make sure I tell Andrea. I just happened to think about that because, you know, in planning East Bay Soul's tour for the summer to come to this area, and of course we all know you're going to be at Potomac Jazz and Seafood Fest coming up soon.
That's right.
And then you're going to be in Lancaster, PA the next day. Hello.
Right. Hello.
Hello. You need to know that there are other places to consider when you plan your next tour.
Outstanding. Well, you know, the more the merrier. You know, we are definitely
yes.
a live band. We love to play live. We love to be together and do that. And any place that wants to entertain that's great.
Well, look, I got to do this because I'm chomping at the bit. You made me work so hard while the show was going on because you right as the show was starting, you wrote to me and said, "Hey, have an idea for you." I'm going to send you a song, and maybe you can play it. It's brand new. And I went, what? He's just telling me now? Oh, my God. So I hustled to get this song in the system, and it took some maneuvering.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate that you want to share it. So we've talked about East Bay Soul, and this is wonderful, but part of the reason why you're here with me is because you've got something going on by yourself.
Why, yes. And see, and this is also a product of being around these incredibly talented and wonderful people. You cannot help but to become more of what you are in a setting like that. It raises the bar when you're around people with that level of talent and
definitely
that feel, that desire to do this. It just raises the bar, and it's bringing out, being associated with this is East Bay Soul Monster. It's just an crazy, amazing, talented group of people. Is awakening things in me that I put to rest a while ago, when my record business stuff wasn't working out well. It's a typical thing. Any artist could tell you that. They've had stories where they've signed with a label and it didn't work out. I mean, I could write a book about how many people that's happened to.
Sure.
For different reasons, you know. My foray into the record business started with a Taboo/Motown Records deal that I had. It was an 8-album deal with a group called Identity Crisis in the 90s. And needless to say, after we got the project done, it wound up being shelved and not pushed and what have you, and that's a whole different deal. Another story for another time. But
no wonder, Daryl, with that name, Identity Crisis. Oh, my God, that was your first red flag.
Well, it actually worked. It was doing well in Florida and different places, but I think it was ahead of its time. It was an R&B project where there were Spanish and English lyrics in the songs, half and half even. And the whole point of the term Identity Crisis was to bring attention to the fact that in America there are so many different kinds of people.
Amen.
And there is an identity crisis. You know, there are people that are fearful of different races and colors and creeds and what have you. And it's all stupid. It's based on insecurity and fear. But anyway, that was kind of what that was about. It's like identity crisis. And the makeup of the band was very mixed. There was a bunch of different types of people in the band. But anyhow, that didn't work out, so I put that to rest. That was in the 90s. Now, fast forward to today, where I'm working with Greg and all these talented people in this band, East Bay Soul, and I woke up again. Okay, you know what? Now that I have gotten to the point where I am with this, I need to revisit my writing and my getting my thing together, because I need to do this, and I can do both.
Yes.
So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited that you are, because you don't know. I'll just make you cry if you read my page in the past couple of days about you. You may not have seen it, and you're just going to blubber, because I went on and on about you.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Look, I can't help it. I'm going to hear this song, and I've never heard this song that we're about to play. I've never heard it. I'm telling you, I'm going to cry, and I'm going to have to call my son to get me a tissue, because you throw me back to when I was a young girl turning into a teenager. You hearken back to those singers that meant everything to me.
That's a huge honor. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. A fat teenage girl growing up in suburban Philadelphia, listening to the soul that touched me, first person that comes to mind, and you might not be as familiar as I was because we loved him in Philadelphia, Billy Stewart. You remind me in many ways of Billy Stewart. Cross My Heart, Summertime, you have that pain and that hope and that yearning in your voice, I can't describe it.
Neither can I. I've tried. It just happens. I can't.
Oh my
I
God!
I could explain it, but I can't. I just can't. I gave up trying a while ago.
Let's not let these people wait anymore. Please tell me about the song that you sent to me that we want to play.
"Be There For You" is the name of that song. The funny thing about it is, "Be There For You" initially had a different title, and it was. And this is a typical process when you're doing songwriting songs. It starts out one way, and then as it starts to mature, it could either improve the original idea or you might go completely in a different direction. And that's what happened with this song. It started out as a smooth jazz instrumental track, and now it has no identity whatsoever with smooth jazz. But it is
Yay.
A vocal track. And it was one of those songs that inspired me to do all the backgrounds myself and everything else. So I'm basically, there's six versions of me on this song singing.
Wow. And this is going to be from the forthcoming EP.
Yes, from the forthcoming EP, and it's going to be entitled "Hold Me." And in fact, that song is in production right now, "Hold Me." But I'll make sure to let you know when that's finished. It should be able to be released on August the 2nd, I'm hoping, if we keep to the schedule. But, you're about to play "Be There For You," and it was just a song that was inspired by the way that I like to be in a relationship.
That is so awesome. Can't wait to hear it. We're going to all hear it together on Hybrid Jazz. This is Daryl Walker. Enjoy.
Go!
the HMI. Oh, my God. Daryl Walker, I'm listening to the song for the first time, and here's the very first thought. You so need to be on a multi-genre scenario. You are uncompromising in what you do. It's got so much soul, what you do, but you are so mass appeal. Everybody can respond to that song, whether they like pop music, jazz, R&B, whatever. That is such a totally relatable song. And it's from the depths of your beautiful, handsome, hold me soul.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, my approach to, I just do what happens organically. I don't always set out to pigeonhole myself in any.
Of course,
particular.
Yes.
It's easy to let that happen, but I never have had this, I'm purely this or purely that approach to music. I just can't do it. So I'm glad I can't, because I don't want to be restricted. I want to just let
know
what organically is going to happen. And in this case, that song started out as a smooth jazz song, I guess you could call it that, and then it morphed into what you just heard. It just became something completely different as we started working. In my songwriting partner at the time, Ron Bolton here, he's another local San Diego person, great guitarist, great producer, does bumper music and jingles and whatever. He's into everything, as you have to be as a musician, you know.
Yeah.
But he and I sat down, and we were getting into this and going, you know, I just don't see this as a smooth jazz thing anymore, because now I'm thinking, what do you think about this? And he would play an idea, and then I would play an idea, and then I'd sing something, and I'd say, well, I was at home, I wrote this. Oh, you want to sing? Yeah, let's do this thing, you know. And then the next thing you know, it becomes a vocal tune, because it just inspired lyrics. Now, mind you, the first version of it sounded nothing like what we just heard. It was very, very smooth jazz, very instrumental, it was nice. But I heard the chord structure and went, you know, there is way more potential in this than what I'm hearing right now, so let's develop this.
Honestly, in thinking about it now, I'm so glad that you added a lyric to that, because that hits home in such a way that I'm thinking now, and I never thought about you in terms like this. It's because you're so passionate about authenticity that it turned out to be this way. And in doing so, people are going to make associations, because this is how we're built as human beings, of how that affects us. And the emotions are so there. It's so tender. And I have just thought about a singer-songwriter that I loved, not only when I was living in Nashville, but before and after I was living there a couple of times. If you're familiar with the late, great Paul Davis, he had great songs, and Cool Nights is one of them. And it's got that absolutely universal vibe about that song, Daryl. It's that right there. I don't know if you're even thinking this far ahead, but I'm going to tell you, this sounds national to me.
Well, that's not the focus, but actually the focus of this thing when it became a vocal tune was just to make something that spoke to people, and it had to be rewritten, I think, three times. The lyrics were changed three times, because at first it was sounding very nice, but, you know, my friend Ron and I try to approach things like this. How would two people in this scenario, given the theme of this tune, how would two people really speak to one another? They wouldn't use these weird long words. They would just say, I want to be with you, or I want to spend time with you. You know, it would be very simple conversation.
Yes.
It would be impactful but simple. And that's kind of how this song was approached. The lyric was a little more complicated before. And I thought, you know, I listened to Ron's suggestion. He said, I don't know, man. What do you think? We should probably work this again, because would you really imagine two people speaking to one another that way? And I went, if we lived in the 1800s, possibly. So we had to change it and take it from, you know, difficult descriptive English into more conversational, current sounding vernacular, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Well, I've got my friend Tracy Hamlin in the chat room today, and she just typed, "Very nice."
Oh, that's great.
Tracy is a singer of amazing reputation. She not only travels with Gloria Gaynor, but Tracy has her own career and a new CD. You and she have to meet someday because you'll both trip out on each other. That's how amazing the chemistry is going to be.
I got to tell you, when it comes to other artists, I just, you know, I welcome the opportunity to meet other artists because we all have something we're trying to say through this thing we call music. And it's nice to hear someone else's take or perspective on it. The only thing I will say is that the one thing I don't have, I have no tolerance for people that have ego problems, people that, in my estimation, don't understand the power and the responsibility. There's a responsibility with being an artist.
Oh, yes.
And it's so many things that have to take place as far as I'm concerned, but among those, I believe that as an artist, you really have to be an ambassador. And I say this no matter who interviews me or even in just general conversation when people approach me at a show and say, "Oh, really love what you're doing," and blah, blah, and "thank you so much," and "oh, you touched me with that," blah, blah. And I tell them, "Well, thank you, you know, I really appreciate that, but you have to understand, as a performer, it's my duty." And this is my view again. I have to qualify these statements because not everyone thinks the way I do, but it's my duty to be an ambassador for my craft. Part of that is honoring, thanking, and visiting with people who give of their precious time and hard-earned resources. And I've said this ad infinitum. It's like this thing that I want people to understand, that it's always a pleasure to sign a CD or a T-shirt or whatever. I have to me, it's imperative that they know that they are appreciated and honored for taking their time out of their life and their resources to come and spend time with us. For whatever that is, whatever the motivation is to be there in the audience, they need to understand that it is really appreciated from the bottom of all our hearts for the people that are on stage. We really appreciate it because they could choose to do anything else that night.
That's true, and there are a lot of choices these days, but that's why you, as part of East Bay Soul, and why you will now have more people, different kinds of people coming to you with this new EP, people know when you're faking it or whether you really mean it, and that is so endearing because, you know, we've talked about this before, Daryl, when people come to a show, what they're looking for, essentially, is for part of them to be healed. Please heal me, because it's hurting, and if you can fix this hurt, I'm going to be your fan forever.
It's funny you say that, because that's what takes place a lot of times. They really do leave having felt that some burden's been lifted. And you can see it on their faces. They're just excited about having been there, and that, there's no bigger compliment than that. When you go through all of what it takes to produce a project and actually get out there in public and start performing it and sharing it with people, the biggest compliment you could ever receive is a smile and a handshake and a hug saying, you know, and someone saying, "Thank you, I really enjoyed the show. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much." They're thanking me or Greg or whoever. One of the guys in the band might be, you know, talking to someone and they're thanking them. And it's more about we're the ones who are thankful because they don't have to be there. They don't have to spend money to come in the door. They don't have to sit down and eat, drink, or even leave with merchandise, you know, buying T-shirts and CDs and hats or whatever the story is. They don't have to do any of that. They choose to do that. And having made that choice is the thing that I think needs to be acknowledged. And not just as this rote thing that takes place. It needs to be from the heart. They need to see that you really, really appreciate the fact that they took their time and the resources to come down and spend time with you. And then that they go out and talk about it and share it with other people, that's an even bigger blessing.
Well, the bottom line is that you don't take people for granted, and people pick that up immediately, and your whole being actually emanates that. So I would like to be part of the reason why you pack spaghettinis in August. Tell us about that CD release event.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what, that room, I first played that room in 2003. I was subbing, oddly enough, for Sean Holt, the guy that wrote Jump, Shout, and Holler on the first East Bay Soul CD, who was also responsible with giving Greg my information and you know, facilitating me being in East Bay Soul by having done that.
Awesome.
Yeah. It just, he basically brought me to Ricky Lawson at the time, world-class superstar drummer Ricky Lawson.
Oh, yeah.
And a sax player to sit in that one night because Sean was otherwise engaged. So Sean said, hey, call my friend Daryl, you know, you can come in here. So sure enough, I got a call from Ricky Lawson, went in there, played the room, and I knew I would be returning there. Didn't know it would be with East Bay Soul. You know, didn't even know, in fact, East Bay Soul didn't exist then. But I knew I would be returning. I just didn't know when. It's one of those things, you know, you have like this inkling, like, what's going on here? Great show that night, and I knew I'd be back, and now I'm doing it with East Bay Soul, and now on my own, which is great. It's a nice shot in the arm because it says that the establishment has faith in what I can do, and they've seen what I do with Greg and them, and it's just, I think it's a complimentary situation, because as I go out
for
with
sure.
my soul and then I'm going to do my own thing, those two things can complement one another, because people on my website can see, you know, hey, all right, we can see him with East Bay Soul, or we can see him by himself, so either way, we're going to see him. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely, yes.
It's a great thing.
For Spags, it's certainly a win-win because when there are people, I've seen the pictures. I've never been there. I have seen countless pictures of audience folks who go to Spagatini's, and, man, do they show appreciation. And I know how much you are appreciated, not just because of the females, although there are a lot of them, Daryl, but you know, they know that you're going to pack that place, and there's going to be ladies there who are going to hear you do Hold Me and go, okay, I'm ready.
You know, it's funny. It is a weird thing. But you know what? You have to look at it for what it is. They're really getting involved with the emotion that's being put across and the sincerity in the lyric and the performance. And that's great, and I appreciate that to no end. I really do.
Let's just dispense with this humility right now, because, ladies, if you have not seen Daryl Walker in person, when you do see him, you are going to go, oh, what a
That is funny.
Oh, look, I'm not even going to stand for you saying, well, you know, that's very nice. I really appreciate the attention. Please. When is the date for this run? Because, you know, I might have to get Beej, our good friend BJ, and I might have to surprise her and go with her to the event.
Oh, that would be great. It's on August the 2nd. The room is almost sold out. I think there are only 3-4 tables left, which is
Wow. Okay.
No, it's amazing, because when the date was announced, I watched they have a seating chart on their calendar, and you can see the activity as it happens. And I'm thinking to myself, I've never done a hard ticket thing. I don't know. And I started having this trepidation about having to fill that place. And I went, well, it's going to be what it's going to be. So just put the word out and see what happens. And sure enough, through Facebook, Twitter, and emails and, you know, just conversations with people, it has come to a point where the room is almost sold out, and here we are.
And by the way, in the chat room, Gonzalez Julian says, Daryl, Marilyn and I have our tickets for Spags. We can't wait.
Oh, Julie, you know what? Those two people that you just mentioned, they are the consummate just music lovers. Julie's a photographer and also a musician. She plays congas and percussion instruments.
Oh.
I have not heard this, but I see this activity. I'm like, you know, I want to hear her do this thing. But she's also a school teacher, so multifaceted.
That's awesome.
Individual. Marilyn, she's in the hotel industry, and she's a great person. And whenever they're in the room, it's nice because they just the love just comes through their soul. You can just feel it. They just
You give the love out for sure. I have seen that firsthand. So, I'm so excited for the Mid-Atlantic because you're coming with East Bay Soul, and then you're going to have this EP debut in Seal Beach in August. So this summer is looking hot for you, baby.
It is. August the 2nd, it's Seal Beach. Yep, Spagatini. It's one of those rooms that a lot of people – it's a big room for the jazz guys. They come through mostly
cool
jazz. There are a lot of different acts that play there, different genres of music throughout the week, but typically it's smooth jazz and jazz. And the room is very successful. It's a very good room to play. I mean, I can't really describe it. It's one of those places. It has its crowd, but then again, the artists come in and bring their crowd, and it blends together and turns into this great experience every time. So
that's awesome. It's somewhat intimate, right?
It is. It's a room that holds, I would say, 150, I would guess.
Okay, that's nice. Oh, you'll work that crowd. And George Grund, by the way, says to say hey. He says, you will kill it.
Oh, George, there's another person. George, for those that don't know, is the one that presented the first version of I'm Coming Home from East Bay Soul 2.0.
No.
Yes, he's a composer of that. He got together with Greg on that, and then Greg took that and put his Greg Adams magic to it with the arrangement, and then Greg and Andrea sat down and wrote the lyrics to that.
That's a beautiful song.
To me, and I went, oh, my goodness. The first time I sang that song, I don't even know if I've told them this, but the first time I sang that song, it brought me to tears as I was singing it. Because as a former soldier myself,
yes,
I resonated with that song, you know. Unbelievable song about coming back, a soldier coming back home after being away in a war or whatever. Not necessarily a war, just being away with the military and then coming back home.
It's one of those songs that you can take as personal, regardless of the meaning, because there is just so much compassion in that song. And your delivery, you talk about you crying when you recorded it. How about us crying when we hear it? Jeez.
Oh,
beautiful.
Let me tell you, it's very impactful. And the funny thing is Andrea makes jokes about the fact that, well, I've never written anything. Well, you would never know because the lyric is great, and I enjoy singing it every time we perform it. And people just, they love it. They really, really get into it. And I have to detach a little bit when I'm doing it because otherwise, if I get too into the message of it, I start to get emotional.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet.
Yeah, and that's not good for a singer because you don't want your voice quivering and sounding shaky when you're trying to do your best, you know.
Well, you will always do your best. And you know that an hour and like almost 10 minutes has gone by, right?
No, I didn't realize that at all.
I knew this would happen.
That is the essence of Trish Hennessy and Hybrid Jazz, my dear.
Oh, bless your heart. You're so good. God. You know what? I've missed you, and I've missed East Bay Soul since December. So, you know, there's a whole lot happening in July. I'm either going to be at Potomac Jazz or Lancaster because I have to get my East Bay soul fixed. Are you hearing me?
I do. Please do. And believe me, when you show up at either of those places, you will get it. We will deliver the full effect.
There's no question about that because I can't ever foresee a time when that hasn't happened or will in the future because all of you are so on fire. And I really love the idea of you doing your own thing at Spags because this is a perfect room for you, and people are going to be buying that EP in droves, Daryl. So bless your heart. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share what's going on with everyone, and thank you for the people who are listening and commenting and adding their chat comments. Really appreciate it. Really, really, really do.
Well, look at Julie. You know what Julie just wrote? First, here's George. I wrote the song a few years ago, and when I heard Daryl's voice on the first EBS album, I knew he had to sing it. And then here's Julie. Trish, thank you for continually providing a wonderful format for artists to share what they're doing and for your positive and enthusiastic support for musicians and their music. These are your fans and friends, and I love them now.
And they are exactly that, fans and friends. Friends, most importantly, because especially in the instance of Julie and George, George provided an incredible song. He was there when we were recording it. And he showed up to the debut of the East Bay Soul 2.0 record, and we mentioned him and had to make him stand up, be recognized. This is your song.
Wow.
But, he's a great musician. He's a horn player, saxophone player, keyboardist. I can't say enough about George. Very humble guy, fun to be around. And then there's Julie, beautiful woman.
And then
there's
Julie.
Very intelligent, talented in many, many ways. And she is so gracious because my first few shows with East Bay Soul, she was there and she was taking photographs and very good pictures and was generous enough to allow us to use those. I've used a few of them on my website and my photo gallery and that kind of thing. And she's just a great person. That's all there is to it. That's all I can say.
Oh, well, she's going to be thanking you in person. She just said thank you, Daryl, and I thank you too. And you just, you didn't really mean to say this, but you just said what's going on, and that's the song I have to close out this particular hour. I love the way you do that, Daryl, and I thank you for
so
that
much.
Song.
The delivery was inspired by Greg's arrangement on that with the horns. Oh.
Oh, my gosh. And my one regret is that Griselda Medina isn't in the chat room. She is, like, kicking herself. She had to do something else. She's going to listen in the archives later. But every time I play that song on this show, she goes, she's in the chat room, and she goes, wait for it, wait for it. There it is, that little yell. Oh! So funny. Oh, my God. We all have our Daryl Walkerisms now.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, well, I'll see you soon, I promise you.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone that's listening. Really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to bringing as much quality music as I can while I'm here.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that, and the legacy will continue and build. Woo! You got some fans and friends. Honey, you better get ready when you come to the East Coast, because we're ready for you.
All right. Well, here we go.
Here we go. Have a great rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Trish.
Thank you, Daryl.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Daryl Walker right there. And let's do it. This is one of those shining moments on East Bay Soul 2.0. What's going on? Yes, the Marvin Gaye song.
You cry, brother, 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 far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way. other. We don't need to escalate. No, no. You see, war is not the answer. Only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some understanding.
This is Hybrid Jazz. Love the finish to that song. The amazing Tracy Hamlin, who we discussed with Daryl Walker. Someday their paths will cross. Oh, you are not even going to believe the result of that little get-together. My gosh, just to hear their voices together, it makes me crazy to even think about it, even to contemplate it. Tracy Hamlin, Take Me to Paris from the brand new This Is My Life CD. One of the other projects that I'm absolutely high about because it gives you the length and breadth of that voice. Baltimore born and raised, by the way. And it just is, it's so full of the kinds of experiences that Tracy has had through the years. I've known Tracy for a while. This album is like one of those shining stars. When somebody crosses a threshold and then you see them in this whole new light, they're standing on this precipice. She is above so many other kinds of singers at this juncture. And this is what makes me high. She's living in the region. And here she is going off to tour with Gloria Gaynor. She'll be in Paris next week, by the way, with Gloria. But she's got her own career. And all of these experiences have just catapulted her to a whole new level. When you hear This Is My Life in its entirety, besides that song, which is just killer, it's so sexy, Take Me to Paris, you just have to go get it. And here's where to do that. Very simple. Beautifully done, revamped website, Tracy Hamlin, Hamlin.com. has the information as to where to buy. Get it today. You'll create your own little 4th of July fireworks. And you know who to blame. So nice. Woo! Pharoah Sanders, Astral Traveling. And yes, it really didn't work out this way in the planning of it, but we had to play Daryl Walker, What's Going On, to close out the interview with Daryl. So you traveled back to the 70s, then you did some astral traveling, and then you went to Paris. Okay? It's our pleasure. I'll be your travel agent anytime. Pharoah Sanders from 1971 from Themby, named after his wife, and just absolutely full of the kind of music that you can tell was changing. As you were hearing it, it was changing. Pharoah was moving into this melodic light after having been, for lack of a better word, and I mean this in the sense that it's deep, but a denser kind of music. He was moving away from that. Lonnie Liston Smith was experimenting with electric keys on this record, and there was a kind of experimentation that Michael White was doing, and Clifford Jarvis and Cecil McBee, and then Pharoah doing not only tenor, alto, and soprano sax, but on fifes and on balafone, this African thumb piano. It's just a trip. I mean, Astral Traveling just stunned us in Philadelphia. It was like, what? Wait. Oh, for the folks who were experimenting with other kinds of stuff, it was right down their alley, let me tell you. Whew, such a trip. Good stuff. Pharoah is still doing his thing as far as touring is concerned. If you get a chance to see greatness, this legendary figure, so imposing looking right in front of you, you have to see him. And What's Going On, Daryl Walker voice, Greg Adams and East Bay Soul. Woo! That's such a trip to hear that particular rendition of that song, What's Going On, from East Bay Soul 2.0. If you are going to see the company of EBS at the Potomac Jazz and Seafood Festival, you are going to have a great time. They're also going to be in Lancaster the next day. It's going to be a wild and woolly weekend. Oof. They have to close the show wherever they go because it's just not fair to the other artists. It really is not. Oh, gosh. Let me see if we have time to do this. I really want to get my new friend Joshua Klossman in this mix. It is going to be the 4th of July. For those of us in the States who acknowledge this supreme holiday for the United States of America in 2 days, And I immediately went to Joshua and to one other artist that I know to sort of convey this intent, this original intent to found the country. This is Joshua Kwasman from Songs of the Brother Spirit and Our Land. It's new from Joshua, who was a guest on the show. And by the way, speaking of guests, let me just say this about Tracy Hamlin. Our guest during the month of June, everyone was a shining star, but Tracy Hamlin pulled in over 1,400 listeners for the show that we did with her. So I just want to say you, Tracy, while you're in the chat room, you were the winner of the month. Yes, 1,400 and counting. Amazing. Joshua, Our Land, on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just let that sink in for you, okay? I had to end this show with that song, and I'm so glad that Griselda pulled in time enough to hear the words to it from Ramsey Lewis with One Voice. That was Darius Brooks on vocals there and Healed Heart somewhere around 2005. Man, Ramsey was absolutely on fire with that CD. Mm. And I'll bet you if you ask him what one of his favorite projects was, he would tell you that right there. You kidding with that gospel choir? Stop it! This is the one with Oh Happy Day on it. Full gospel choir in the background. My goodness. We also heard Joshua Crossman. And I can't speak enough about this young man. This is a powerful CD, Songs of the Brother Spirit. It's brand new. We had Joshua on the show a couple of months ago, and this basically is about the experience he had with a childhood friend and their travels together. And in the telling of the instrumentation of this powerful music, just jazz and classical interspersed, and the creativity of this young man is just so moving and so appreciated. He gets to the point where he breaks away from being so enamored of the looking up relationship to this other young man. He decides that it's time to branch out on his own and be his own leader, as opposed to paying so much attention to what somebody else was directing him to do. So it's really powerful stuff. And I just want to make sure you know who's on the CD with him. That would be Ariel Feynman on vocal and glockenspiel, Gilad Hexelman, the fabulous guitarist, Jeff Miles, Angelo Di Loretto, Adam Cromelo, Craig Aiken, Rodrigo Ricabarin, Rodrigo Ricabarin on drums and percussion, and Joshua Quasman on alto, soprano, sax, clarinet, flute, melodica, and piano. Amazing. We also heard in between there, Jared, my friend Jared, who was the first guest ever on Hybrid Jazz 2 years ago in August, and that 2-year anniversary is coming up. That was his take on the Star Spangled Banner. Wasn't that something? Jared, we love you so much. We got to check in with Jared and see what's happening with him. As a matter of fact, we are going to be doing just that in the next couple of weeks. We've got a really big party, Dimasones, that's coming up in July in Virginia, and have some folks who will be part of that big party. Thank you to everybody who joined us today, especially Julie Gonzalez. Yes! Calling from California about her great friend Daryl Walker. We appreciate Daryl so much for joining us. Man, big things are happening for him. Glad to see my Griselda checking in late. She was rushing to get to the show. Thank you very much. Have a great 4th of July for you, if it applies to you, if you're listening in the States. Wherever you are, please be safe. Our prayers, our hearts go to the families of those 19 firefighters who were lost to us on Sunday. Real American heroes. God bless you all. Take care of one another, please. And we'll see you next week on Hybrid Jazz. Yay!